Right. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's not God's responsibility to humble us. Now, He can. Right. I've had Him humble me before, I can tell you that. And I didn't like it a bit. God, help us. Boy, it embarrasses me just to think about how I got humbled. 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility. Amen. For God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. God help us. He deals with our humility. We could go over into James chapter 4 about humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's not the passage, though. That's not in James. Let me read that to you. Here's what he says. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble. Amen. That word resisteth there, you know what that means? It means to set, to stand against, to set in battle array against, or to oppose. He resists the proud. And then he goes on in this other verse, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He deals with our humility in this passage of Scripture. Secondly, He deals with our habit. He said, pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe that if you and I tonight will take this passage literally and apply it to ourselves, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God tonight, and if we will truly pray, if our habit is a habit of prayer, it will make a difference. Do you believe God answers prayer tonight?
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe God can?
Yes.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's the great impossibility. If you don't believe God can save souls, if you don't believe God can draw you close to Himself and guide your steps, if you don't believe God can empower you to have an impact in Chester, if you don't believe God can save sinners and fill these pews with them, if you don't believe God can revive the saints of God and stir the church and let it grow and be healthy and make an impact, as I said, in this county, if you don't believe that, you're not going to have be very effectual in your prayer life. I believe God can. The great impossibility is that we try to please God without faith. Then he said, seek my face. That should be our habit. Praying and seeking his face. Lamentations 3:40-41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. I wonder tonight, are we seeking fame or are we seeking His face? I've often asked myself this question. If God did send revival to Welcome Baptist Church and He did fill every pew that we had, I wonder if I would get lifted up in pride as a result of that. I wonder if God really did send revival, if He really did begin to move in this place, and we began to see the results of it, and it began to grow, and the news people caught wind that something's happening down there in Chester. Something's happening down there in a little block building on the side of the road. Something's happening down there. Yeah. And the news came down here and started interviewing us. Said, Pastor, can we have a word with you? We've heard what's happening down here. Would you tell us about that? You ever thought about it? I've often wondered, why do I want all the pews at Welcome Baptist Church filled? And listen, you come to our church, any service you want to, and we've got empty portions of pews and pews.
Yep.
You're not the only one that's got some empty pews in the building. We do too. We need revival too. We need God to do something too.
Man.
I don't know why He got me to come down here. I don't know a whole lot about revival, obviously. We're not having it. God's been helping me, though.
Yeah.
God's been helping me before I came here even.
Amen.
I don't know if you can tell it, but I hope you can. But I want you to know, we need to be seeking the face of our God.
Yes, yes.
I wonder if we would write books about revival if it came. I wonder if we'd try to seek God's glory or try to take God's glory. I wonder if it really broke out this week and we began to see what only we have imagined. I wonder what our hearts would feel like in the next few weeks. I wonder if we would continue to seek His face.
Yeah.
I wonder if we would continue to pray, or would we slack up in praying? Would we slack up in seeking His face if the house got full? Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Jeremiah 29:13-14 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Listen, Jesus is the answer to our problems today. Jesus is the one that we need to draw nigh to. He's the one that we need to concentrate on. He's the one that we need to pray and seek the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we need. And He's not the problem, but our relationship with Him is our biggest problem.
Amen.
I'm convinced of that. Psalm 42:1 to the chief musician, he says this, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." I wonder tonight, do we really want to see God? Do we really want to meet with God? Do we really desire Him? Not what He can give us, not filling of the pews, not the saving of souls, not blessing our finances, not just doing the things that He can do. But I mean, we need to be not satisfied with what He can give us, but satisfied with Him. If He never did anything else for us, He's already done more than we deserved.
Amen. Right.
But I wonder if our soul, really, are we seeking God to fill the church building more than we're seeking Him? He should be priority number one in our life. He should be the one that our eyes, our mindset is turned toward. He's the one that we need to desire more than anything else in life.
Right.
And when we begin to get close to Him, and then we begin to hear His heartbeat, and we begin to follow His will and obey Him, then we'll begin to see the results that we desire.
Amen. Yes.
We delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Our relationship with Him is so important. Our habit needs to be prayer and seeking His face. And I'm going to be honest with you. If that is your heart's burden and heart's desire, and if tonight you will make a commitment and you will begin like never before to pray and seek the face of God, I guarantee you, on the authority of God's Word, you will in the days to come see the results of that.
Amen.
And that will be something that will last and be good in eternity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's right.
It won't be something that'll just pass away.
Right.
That's what we need in this hour. Satan can't stop you. The world can't stop you. Because our God is bigger than that. He's able. And you can have the hand of God upon your life. And you can have the hand of God upon your home and upon your church. You say, "Preacher, are you saying that we don't?" I'm not saying that you don't.
Right.
I'm just saying I need it more than I ever have before.
Amen.
I'm just saying my home needs it more than they ever have before.
Amen.
Only God knows what my family's been through in the past months. Only God knows the nights that we've not even been able to sleep some in the past week. I need the hand of God on me like I've never had before. I'm not preaching to you something like I've arrived. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm already there. I'm just trying to set the goal up. And I believe God has put in my heart what we need. Now, would you join me in trying to seek that?
Amen.
Earnestly praying. How much time have we spent in prayer over this meeting? I'm not talking about 10 minutes before we come into the service. That's wonderful. We try to have prayer meeting before some of our services. I'm talking about at home. When's the last time maybe you were standing washing the dishes and you was just talking to God and the Spirit of God came upon you and tears began to walk down into that dishwater? I'll tell you one thing, I like to deer hunt. I've had the God get in the tree stand with me, and it's hard to get me and God in a little old tree stand, I can tell you that. I'm not too little fella anyway. I was thinking, Lord, me or you, one going to have to get out of here. There ain't not enough room up here for both of us in the top of this tree. You ever been riding down the road? I remember one day that I was in my building. I was fixing to go deer hunting. And I was in my building, and God spoke to my heart and said, you ain't spend much time with me today. I don't remember all that He said, but all I know is it was time to pray. So I had a little old wooden work table there that we had pulled out of the nursery in the old church building. I sat down on the corner of that thing, and I bowed my head and started talking to God. And I mean, it wasn't just a minute. He was there.
Amen.
How long's it been? Amen. Riding down the road in your pickup truck or your car, and God, the Holy Ghost, fell in that thing with you. I mean, we used to say it got foggy in there. Not literally. That was Old Testament. But figuratively. It got thick in there. I remember one old man in a church in Taylor's years and years ago, he said, man, we had to have 2 C&I dogs to get out tonight. You have to forgive me. I'm a little bit country.
Amen. Go ahead.
You can have the hand of God on you like never before.
Amen.
Our children need the hand of God on them.
Yes.
Like never before.
Right.
They need God's touch. They need to see something that's real. We're losing too many to the world.
Amen.
As it is.
Amen.
Right off the pews of Welcome Baptist Church, we lose them to the world. And I don't know what to do about it. That is the thing that has stirred my heart lately. And I said it a little while ago. I have recognized more now than ever, I can't do it. I can't convince them. I can't turn them. I can preach, and I can preach, and I can sweat, and I can holler and slobber, and I can do whatever. But I can't make them. I can't do it.
Right.
But I know God can.
Amen.
And I need His hand upon me, as I said a minute ago,
Amen.
Right now more than I've ever needed it.
Amen.
And so do you.
Yes, Lord.
I'm tired of preaching to no avail.
Amen.
I'm tired of witnessing, and I'm tired of inviting people, and I'm tired of service after service. Now, I mean, God moves, and I'm not saying that God doesn't do anything, but He's not doing all that I believe He can do, and I don't believe He's doing all He wants to do.
Right. Amen.
But I know it ain't His fault.
Right.
And our generation's suffering because of it.
Right.
And it ain't the world's fault, and it ain't the devil's fault. He's dealing with God's, His people here.
Right.
So He deals with our habit, and then He deals with our holiness.
Mm.
You say, no, you ain't. I might.
Go ahead.
He said, turn from their wicked ways. I believe that's repentance.
Right.
Proverbs 13:13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. What was that song y'all sang? There was a line in that song along those lines about the Word. Something about the Word. Y'all remember what it was? I believe His Word is true. I've seen what He can do. When I call on His name.
Amen.
I believe God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You believe His Word's true tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Listen to that verse again. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded.
Amen.
There's a crowd out there that cares nothing about the Word of God.
Right.
I realize tonight, I don't think I've ever heard Brother Moss preach. I'd love to hear him preach, but I don't think I've ever heard him preach. He may not be nothing like me. I don't know. You might be sitting there in shock. I don't know. I'm glad I don't know, really. Because I'm a whole lot more freer to just be myself.
Amen. That's it.
You see what I'm saying? Amen. He might just stand behind the pulpit. He may never raise his voice. I don't have any idea. And that's okay if he does. I've had preachers get up before and they start, you know, just real polite and quiet. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a while. This is good. And before they was done, they done tore me up, preached me to the altar, fed me, helped me. You don't have to preach any certain way.
Right.
I'm just being myself, all right? But I'm telling you tonight, I believe the Word of God is
right.
Able.
Right.
And we need it. God calls us to be different.
Amen.
He talks about them turning from their wicked ways. 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Yeah.
You know what a lot of people do? They come to the church seeking happiness rather than holiness.
That's right.
But what they don't realize is happiness comes from holiness.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:14, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake. In other words, if you're living a righteous life and even suffering as a result of your righteous life, you know what he said? Happy are ye.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. John 13:17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them.
Amen.
The devil says, oh, if you go to church and you serve God and you try to live for God, you will look at all you're going to miss out on. Yeah. What he won't tell you is really what you are going to miss out on. The heartache, the sorrow, the scars, the sin. That's what he ain't going to tell you what you're going to miss out on. He'll say, you're going to be miserable. I've tried to tell my folk just last week, I guess it was, I said, look, just take my word for it. I've been on both sides of the fence.
Amen.
And I know which side's the best side. Turn from their wicked ways. That's plural. You say, preacher, are you trying to tell me I'm wicked?
Amen.
Listen, do you realize tonight that there are sins of commission and sins of omission? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sometimes it's not what we're doing, it's what we're not doing that's sin.
Right.
But we're going to have to deal with our sins. He not only deals with our walk and our holy, but He's dealing with our holiness. We need to have a heart cleaning, a house cleaning. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? We know there's judgment for sin. But then I want you to notice what He said He would do. He said, when we turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Psalm 34:15-18 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Do you get that? Talking about holiness.
Right.
The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry.
Amen.
The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry. Did you hear that word again? And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Yes.
He deals with our humility there.
Yeah.
He said, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sins. I'm glad there's forgiveness tonight. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Isaiah 55:6-7, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. If you want to go to New Testament, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He talks about the healing of the land. Would you agree with me that our land needs healing today?
Yes.
I'm often reminded of Isaiah. You remember what happened to Isaiah when he got before the Lord? Isaiah said, woe is me. When the closer we get to God, the more our sinfulness is going to be revealed. I'm not a perfect man, and neither are you. And the closer we get to the light, the greater it shows our faults and our failures and our sins. Let's just call them what they are. We try to smooth it over, try to make it sound good and all of that. But I mean, it's just sin. God help me. Our land needs a healing in this day. I read part of this quote last night. I'm going to read the rest of it tonight. Dr. Oswald J. Smith, in his book, Revival We Need, says, God can only work through us after He has worked in us.
Amen.
One thing that was always prominent in great revivals of the past was a deep, true conviction of sin. When sin is admitted, confessed, and forgiven, people are melted and God begins to move.
Yes.
I say again, if we're going to have that which we do not have, we're going to have to do that which we have not done.
Yes.
I'm talking about in this passage, God said, here is what can bring about a change in the land. If this happens, if my people, the key to it all is my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's humility, and pray and seek my face, that's their habit, turn from their wicked ways, that's their holiness, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I don't know what to tell you tonight except to say again, the great need of this hour is for God's children to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is what we need. And when that relationship is improving and we're becoming more Christ-like, that is, I believe, revival. That is something that's going to stand the test of time. That's something that's going to have results. Like I said last night, we'll see the results of it. Souls saved, rejoicing, joy in the church. All of these things. I mean, even our labor. People will start getting active when they fall in love with the Lord, and because they see how much He loves them and all they did for Him. Man, I want to do something for Him. I mean, I believe all of the problems that we face in this day and all the lacks that we have, the problem is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're right.
That will cure our problems. That'll cause us to get holy and get things out of our life and have a house clean and a heart cleaning and all of that. It'll cause us to get busy.
That's right.
Cause us to want to win sinners and tell them about this lovely Savior that we know so well.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the problem. We've left our first love.
Amen.
Would there be somebody here tonight that would humble themselves and say, Preacher, I know you're right. Now, tonight, I want to take a step. I want to get a little closer. I want to turn or be turned, as I preached last night. Turn from their wicked ways.
Amen.
God turned Himself. Now will we say, turn us.
Yes.
Turn us, O God. Turn us from those things that's occupying our time. Turn us from the things of this world that's going to pass away. He told us not to love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Why? It's going to pass away. But our young people are in love with the world. And the world's going to pass away. Turn us from all of these things that's occupying our mind and our time. And help us to be still and know that you're God. You say, Preacher, I'm in a valley tonight. And oh, there's mountains and there's battles and there's giants and all of that. But you see, that's what the problem was with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. That's why they wouldn't go into Canaan. That's why they wouldn't march on in victory. Because their giants were bigger than their God in their eyes. But the closer you get to the Lord, I don't care how big something is. I don't have nothing really small. Yeah, I do. I got a pocket knife. Hey, man. I'm toting meat. Be careful. Don't be bat-mouthing me after the service now. Me and Jim's on good terms, too, so. That ain't very big, is it? But when I get up like this right here, it's a whole lot bigger than you are. See, the problem is we walk at a distance from our God, right, and He looks small.
Right.
And then our giants come in, and they say, man, we say, oh, goodness, He's way bigger than our God is. We can't handle this. When you get right up close to the Lord, friend, you get bad then.
Amen.
You see what I mean? You know, I mean, not really, but you start thinking, hey, they better look out now.
Amen.
I'm not talking about in pride, but I'll give you a good example in the Old Testament. Can you think of one? How about little David? He told that giant, I'm going to take your head, I'm going to feed you to the birds and everything else. And he was confident he was going to do it too.
Amen.
You know why? Because he had been spending time with God on the backside of the desert.
That's right.
He already knew God was able.
That's right.
So when the giant came out, he said, yeah, come on, big boy, let's go. God can take care of you.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But we live away from God, and we're like all the men of Israel. We cower away. The devil's got us run off. He's got us scared. He's got us believing we can't do nothing.
That's right. Yes. Right.
Oh, man. I got so much I want to preach, brother. Goodness, yeah. Y'all are going to be here a while tomorrow night. You say, no, I ain't, because I ain't coming back after this. You listening? I'm trying my best to help you.
Hey.
All the men of Israel, man, they're looking for a hole to crawl in. And little David comes out and says, man, what in the world? When David said, is there not a cause and all these things? I don't know. I ain't got time to preach all that. I'd like to, but so many in this day and hour, Satan's got us convinced. We're whipped. We can't do nothing.
Right.
We can't build a church.
Right.
We can't, but God can.
Right.
We can't whip the giant, but God can.
Right.
We can't see souls saved, but God can.
Right.
We can't convince the young generation, but God can. You understand where I'm getting at? The problem is our relationship with God.
Right.
So if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek His face as a habit and turn from every way that we know is not right, we don't have to crawl in the hole no more. We don't have to shake in our boots anymore. When we get down to pray, we can believe that God can do it.
That's right.
I remember the story that they were meeting down at the church house and praying for rain because of a drought. You probably heard this. They was praying for rain. They were supposed to meet down at the church house and pray for rain because they'd had such a drought. Everybody comes down there, and here comes this lady carrying an umbrella in. You get it?
Yeah. Yeah.
When we get down to pray for rain, do we carry an umbrella with us?
Amen.
One lady out of that whole crowd brought an umbrella. And I guarantee you, it'll just take one or two out of this crowd to get it.
Amen.
To get him. And it'll spread like wildfire.
Amen.
You know what happened when that giant fell? In David's day, boy, I wish I might should have preached on that tonight. You say you are. Well, I'm trying. There's just so much to say. You know what happened when that giant fell and they saw his head roll? They come out of them holes. They've got them swords up, man. Here they come. They wiped them out just because one little boy. Young man, how old's that young man right there? It might just be you.
Yeah. Right.
It might just be him. How old are you, buddy?
Eight.
It might just be him.
Man.
Just get with God.
That's right.
And watch the giant fall. And the rest of this crowd say, man, let's get him. Let's go.
Man.
Where's my sword? Where's my sword? I've been spending time with God on the mountain. I've already seen Him take the lion and the bear.
Yes.
Where's my sword?
Hey, help us.
We're going to chase the enemy out of Chester.
Amen.
Chase them the other way. Don't chase them toward Union. York, that's a good place. I'm not preaching something I don't believe tonight.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet. I'm done. I just pray God's not done. I'm just going to ask you to come. If God spoke to you tonight and you're serious, I'd ask you to come. If I had to wear this carpet out, wear a trail to this altar to live for God and do what He wants me to do, that's exactly what I'd do.